as knowing God of divine manifestation. And our scripture that we've been looking at for the last few weeks, taking from Daniel chapter 11, verse 32b, Daniel 11, 32b, that says, those that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. And we said the way the world is going, it is very important in this dispensation for us to know God for ourselves as individuals. I said we must have an experience of God that nobody can explain God to you beyond your level of experience with him. We can attempt to explain God, but unless you have a dimension of God, it will be difficult for you to grasp. That's why sometimes Pastor is talking, he's going over some people's heads, because you've never had that experience of God. And it's very, very important as a child of God to have that experience, because this is we're in the latter days, and we need, and that is why people run after for prophets and fake pastors and things like that, because they have not experienced God themselves. And we started by looking at Daniel as our case study. Daniel as our case study. We said those that knows their God usually or every time, all the time, well, they refuse to compromise. We said it does not matter how sin is packaged. The individual, because they know their God, they refuse to compromise. Just like Daniel refused to compromise. We said they refuse to. They will not compromise. It does not matter how well put together sin might look. It does not matter how that thing looks. If it does not please God, they refuse to compromise. And then the second point we look at is that Daniel knew God to the point of conviction that he knew that God cannot fail. So he put God to test. He told the guard, he said, just put us to test. Just give us vegetables and give us some water and we'll be fine. Because we know God. We know a dimension of God that he does not fail. Because our fathers, we've also had the experience, even though he was in captive. Can you imagine? He was in captivity. They were captives in Babylon. He still trusted that God will not fail him. This is somebody that has been captured and still trusted that God will not fail. Somebody in trouble that still trusted that God will not fail. He believed in God so much. We looked at that. And we also looked at the fact that knowing God is refusing to allow the enemy to have the upper hand. Say when the King Nebuchadnezzar asked them to kill his magicians, his soothsayers, and all that, and they came for Daniel and his friends, he said, wait. We're not just going to follow you to the gallows. What has the king said we have done? At least tell us what we have done. And then when he was informed what happened, he said, give us some time. Let me go and consult this God. Because the God that I serve, he might be a lamb, but he's also the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's not just going to allow himself to be crucified. That even when the enemy thinks he's having the upper hand, the lion rose up. The lion rose up at that time. And then last week that we looked at this, the next point, we said knowing God is winning again and again. Daniel was able to reproduce what he did again and again and again. That there's a dimension of God that you know that turns you to a lifetime testifier and not just a one-time testifier. That turns you to a lifetime of success and not just a one-time success. But it comes from knowing God. It comes from knowing God. We also looked at last week. Was that where we stopped? Let me check. Okay, that's where we stopped. And today we're going to continue. If you need that series, I think we have it on the podcast. And they also have it in the CD. You can request for the CDs from the technical department. So we're going to move on. Those that knows their God transcends time. They transcend rulers. They transcend kings. They transcend generation, and they transcend culture. They transcend culture. So it does not matter what the culture is saying. They are beyond culture. I remember when we were growing up, this just came to me. I remember when we were growing up in our street, there's this woman, you know, back home in sub-Saharan Africa where I came from, they name streets after people. I don't know if they do it here. So the person that they named the street, street after, they were the first occupant of the street. And this woman, at that time, you can call her rich. My parents were poor. So in one day, she can wear three different outfits. She wears one in the morning, she'll come. My mother sells food. For those of you that will understand, if I can interpret this tongue. I'm not sure if I have the interpretation of this tongue. My mother says ebakulobe. So it's like it's Gary without soup. It's just like saying you're selling mashed potato without gravy. That's just basically what it's like. So she will wear something in the morning. She'll come to my mother's shop. She'll walk around, show herself. And then she'll tell my mom, money is good. If you are poor, you are suffering. In the afternoon, she'll wear a different outfit. She's not going anywhere. She sells beer, alcohol. Our kids sell the beer for her. They have truck that they put the beer in and go from places to places. She'll wear another one in the evening, and she'll come. She'll say, Yafali, money is good. That's the what they call my, Yafali. Fali is my older sister. Money is good. If you are poor, my mom will look at us and say, don't mind her. The cloth of this year is good. What about next year? All the clothes she's wearing, they are rags. And I tell you, those clothes became rags. Because culture changes. But those that know their God stand up for God. Regardless of what the culture is saying, they are standing up for God. They are standing a transcend culture. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. I'm going to read the New Living Translation. It says, Darius the Mede, decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Now, let me stop there for a second. So, Daniel was there for Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar was not there, Daniel continued. It didn't end with Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar had to go into that 7 years training, he didn't go with him. You will not perish with your enemies. In the name of Jesus Christ. He was the next king. Appointed him again. Appointed him. And after he was appointed, verse 3 said, he proved himself more capable than all the... So if he had followed the culture, if he had followed what was reigning with the other soothsayers, he would have perished with them. He would have no opportunity to prove himself again. But because he stood for God, God preserved him. When the others were being killed, he moved on to the next king. He moved on to the next king. He served Nebuchadnezzar. He served Belshazzar, which was Nebuchadnezzar's son, and then he went to serve this guy. So that's the third king. So he moved on from 1 to 2 to 3. You will not be stagnated in the name of Jesus. He transcends culture. He transcends time. Your relevance will not diminish in the name of Jesus Christ. It wasn't like he was there for Nebuchadnezzar, and then when the next king came, they were looking for him, they couldn't find him. He was still relevant. He was still important beyond culture because he knows his God. So he did not compromise. He started from not compromising. And because of that, God preserved him. And he was moving on in life from king to king. My prayer is that when I am gone, that generations after me will remember me. They will hear about me. I pray the same for you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That my relevance will transcend time and culture. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. It's possible. Look at our fathers in the faith. Look at our fathers in the faith. It's happening. Transcending time, transcending generation. Transcending generation. Daniel continues to win again and again and again. Psalm 148 verse 13, this is International Standard Version, say, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is lifted up. His majesty transcends heaven and earth. He goes beyond. And that is your father we're talking about. And if it's your father, you have the DNA of Jesus. You have the DNA of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 13. Isaiah 57 verse 13, if you can bring it up. He said, let's see if your idols can save you. So Daniel did not worship the idols there. He knew that they could not save him. The only thing that could save him was God. He's God. And that's why he stood for God. The idols of this country cannot save you. You know the idols in America? Fame, sex, and money. Those three people will kill for it. Any of those three. They will kill. He cannot save. He said, let's see if your idols can save you. When you cry to them for help, he said, why? A puff of wind will knock them down. The money you are running after, God forbid, a puff of wind, it's gone. If you just breathe on them, they fall over. He said, but whoever trusts in him, in me, will inherit the earth and possess the land. And possess the land. Number seven, knowing God is living an exemplary life. The God in you just makes you different. That they say, can't you see Serena? People will look at and say, can't you see Brother Tony? You know, wives will look at their husband and say, you don't see how Brother Tony behaves? Can't you see? You see God in him. People want to be like you because they see Jesus in you. You live an exemplary life. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. Daniel 6, 4 to 5. If you can give me a message version, please. Daniel 6, 4 to 5. Says the vice regents and governors go together to find some old scandal or skeleton in Daniel's life that they could use against him. But they couldn't dig up anything. He was totally exemplary and trustworthy. Totally exemplary and trustworthy. Another translation said, he was faithful. New Living Translation, please. Said they could find no evidence of negligence or misconduct. Yet he was serving a worldly king. He was seen on negligence. They still could not find a misconduct in him because he knows that he wasn't the king that he was serving. Whatever position you are now, it is not the navy you are serving. It is not the VA I'm serving. It is God. I'm a representative of God wherever I am. So where you are a representative of God. So even if you have an ungodly supervisor, if you have an ungodly boss, you should be godly because you are not serving them. You know, some people say, my boss is wicked, so I'm wicked to her again. Or I won't greet her, or I won't say anything. Then what is the difference between you and your boss? There's no difference. It means that you are the same. Since then, the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. He was handling government affairs, and they were finding faults. They were looking for faults. Seriously searching for it. You know how people are when they are looking for faults. Ah. You say yes, they say, oh. See the way she even said yes. The way she pronounced the first why. The why. She said yes. Instead of saying yes. And then you have offended some people. You have offended. Unknowingly, they were looking for faults. Can you imagine? But the Bible says, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He carried so much of God that his faults, his mistakes became messages for them. They can't see it. He was carrying so much of God that they could not see his faults. Because why? He was faithful, always responsible, completely trustworthy. We're going to, maybe next week we'll dissect that, but I just want to focus on the faithful today. Daniel was faithful. Those who know their God, they are faithful. They are faithful. Daniel was faithful. We live in a generation where even Christians are not even faithful anymore. There's no difference between us and the world. I mean, how can you say, when people go to redemption camp and take the offering bowl with the money, redemption camp, for God's sake, if you want to steal, why would you go to that place and steal? Break into people's cars. Redemption camp, where we say it's the holy ground. People steal in churches. Steal God's money. And they are not afraid. It is because they don't know God, though. They don't know that God, yes, God is merciful. He's also a consuming fire. They forget that part about God. Daniel was faithful. We live in a generation where, you know, one day I was attending to a patient and we started talking. From the way I was talking, he said, you know God. I said, yes. I said, are you a Christian? He said, I'm not a Christian. But he was quoting scripture. I said, you're not a Christian? He said, no, I'm a believer. So I asked him, why did you say you are not a Christian? He said, because everybody is a Christian. He said, people that are doing wrong things, they call themselves Christians. He said, they don't know the meaning of Christians. That's his explanation of it. I'm not saying he's right or he's wrong. He said, but I'm a believer. He said, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a believer in his commandments. I'm a believer that God asked me to be holy. I'm a believer that God asked me to be sinless. He started explaining it to me. He said, so I'm not going to call myself a Christian. He said, because when you see Christians, this they say, run away from them. It makes you want to cry. It makes you want to shed tears. That people are running away from that. You hardly find Christians that are faithful. What is wrong with us? What does it cost us to be faithful? They said they could not find any evidence in Daniel. Daniel had the same blood that is running through you now, running through him at that time. It doesn't cost much to be faithful. Just say, God, help me. And you be diligent about it. You be consistent about it. He protected God's interest. He was faithful. He didn't say, I'm serving a corrupt government, so I'm going to be corrupt as well. He remained faithful. He saw beyond the person that he was serving. He knew that God was the one that put him in that place, and he had to represent God and not the king. He knew that there is a king that is greater than the king he was serving. There is a king called the King of Kings. So he decided that I'm going to be faithful. He knew that, oh goodness, those that know their God, they are faithful to their vows. They are faithful to their marriage vows. The Bible says marriage is honorable in all. He said the bed must be undefiled. Those that know their God, they are faithful to their children. They are faithful to the church of God. They are faithful to their brethren in church. They are faithful even at their places of work. When they are supposed to get there at 7:30, they don't get there at 7:45 and write 7:30 down. They are faithful. We do it and we call ourselves Christians. You are late, take the consequence. You know you are going to be late. You are late. Take the consequence. Like one of our sisters was sharing during Bible studies, Tuesday Bible study. She said she wanted to call out sick, but she knew that she wasn't sick. And the Holy Spirit convicted her. Guess what? She didn't call out sick. The appointment she was going to call out sick for, she canceled it. Thank God for her life. That's faithfulness. As I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. There are times in the past that I have called out that I'm sick, that I was not sick. Lord, have mercy on us. What I do these days, if I need time off, I will tell my nurse manager, I need a day off. I will call her, I need 8 hours. I need a day off. If I need a day off, let's be faithful. The Bible says it is required in stewardship. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians, I think it's 4:2. It is required that we are faithful. As a church, one of our core values is faithfulness. I mean, our core values, staff us. We have to be spirit-filled and spirit-controlled. You have to be teachable. You have to be available. You have to be fervent in the spirit. You have to be faithful. You have to operate with the spirit of excellence wherever you go, because your Father is an excellent God. You have to have respect one for another, and you have to be sincere. That's our core values as a church. Daniel was not only faithful to man, but he was also faithful to God. So be faithful to man. Be also faithful to God. Be faithful in your places of work, like I said earlier. Be faithful with whatever God has committed into your hands. Don't watch it fall apart. Because guess what? You are going to give an account. The parable of the 10 talents. We all know that parable. I think it's Matthew chapter 25. The parable of the 10 talents. He gave one 10. He gave five, sorry. He gave one 5. He gave one 2. And he gave one 1. He knew their capabilities before he gave it to them. The one with 5 said, multiplied it. The one with 2 multiplied. The one with 1 had the audacity to tell the master that gave him the gift, I know you are wicked. You want to reap where you have not sown. So I kept your gift for you in a box. Come and get it. And he said, the master said, you wicked. If you had even kept it in a bank, at least I would get the pro. I'm not asking you to multiply it. Just give it to people that will invest it. And I will come back. And I will get my... He said, so because of that, you are going into the lake of fire. It won't be your portion in Jesus' name. He said, because of that. And the one, he took it, the one he has given him, and give it to somebody else. Your place will not be vacant. Amen. You will not be replaced. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. But please be faithful. Turn to your neighbor, say, be faithful. See, you're being faithful to your spouse, to your children, at your place of work, wherever you find yourself, even in the church of God. If you are faithful in the church, it's not because pastor is nice, though. It's not because I'm perfect. It's not because I'm a good person. Because I can't pay you. Even if I'm good, with all my goodness, I cannot pay you. It's not possible. So if you're unfaithful because pastor is not nice to you, I'm sorry. Or if you are faithful because pastor is nice to you, I'm sorry, I will disappoint you one day because I'm flesh. I'm trusting God that I will not disappoint God. But it's possible for me to disappoint you. Not because I want to disappoint you, but because you are also flesh and I can do something that will aggravate you. But if you are faithful to God, he does not disappoint. He might not pay you every day. Thank God, Pastor Yinka is in the spirit. This morning, when we came early to pray this morning, he was saying, let's pray for all the workers. It was as if he knew what I was going to. I was just smiling. They didn't see me smiling. So let's pray for all the workers in the church. He said there are some of us, we are tired. You. We have to push us. So that we can start. Please, we are doing it for God. As I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself. There are areas in this church that I need to be more faithful. So don't say pastor is condemning us. No, I'm not. God is speaking to all of us as one. Every one of us. If you have not even joined the workforce, you have not even started. You have to go and see Brother Tony and start from somewhere. But if you have started, if we say we're doing it for God, let's do it for God. Let's make our Father proud. He's the one that's going to reward us. He might not pay you every day. He might not pay bi-weekly like the VA pays me. But when he pays,